Well, it's good to be back with you after a break, and I'm just going to be concluding this morning our short series on the gospel. This last few weeks, Paul has talked about the power of story and sharing our story and the great story of his story, and Julie talked about the fishing expedition that we are on. And how we do that with God, and how God uses us in that, and the great power of the gospel to reach people, and with our various touches as we touch people's lives and as we follow the lead of God. And then last week, Rich and Hamish talked about the power of invitation. And this morning, I want to talk about putting on your gospel shoes, the gospel of peace that we have and that we present and that we are ambassadors of. I want to read you a passage of scripture from Ephesians chapter 6 about the armor of God. And we're going to read from verse 10. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 to 19. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm, then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, and the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for the saints, for all the saints. Pray also for me that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. It says there in verse 15 of chapter 6, with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. We read the Message version of Ephesians 6, verse 13, 4 is a paraphrase version. It says, be prepared, you're up against more than you can handle on your own. Take all the help you can get, every weapon God has issued, so that when it's all over but the shouting, you'll still be on your feet. Truth, righteousness, peace, faith, and salvation are more than words. Learn how to apply them. You'll need them throughout your life. Shoes are big business, aren't they? Back in the day, it's not so much now, you don't hear much about her, but back in the day, Imelda Marcos, do you remember her? She was listed in the Guinness Book of Records as the woman with the largest shoe collection. She owned more than 3,400 pairs of shoes. And some of the men are sitting here thinking, my wife is not far behind. The Moonstar shoes, the most expensive pair of shoes ever bought or sold, were the Moonstar shoes by Antonio Vietri, and they were worth £19.9 million. So again, if you're complaining that your wife has spent too much money on shoes, it's all relative. When it comes to this passage in Ephesians and the armor of God, Paul covers the feet as well. He speaks about the feet, and he says, make sure you're wearing the right footwear. Put on your gospel shoes. And he would have been thinking about a Roman soldier with the strapped leather boots that they would have on with nails coming out of the bottom that would give them stability in battle, allow them to be on the front foot, allow them longevity in marching, and give them the advantage over the enemy to have the right footwear on. Put on your gospel shoes, Paul says. And what we wear on our feet sometimes kind of indicates how we're feeling, doesn't it? You can maybe have a sneaky look at what you're wearing today, on your feet. And sometimes if we've got running shoes on, it indicates a different vibe or a different feel to if we're wearing high heels or if we're wearing UGG boots or if you've got your slippers on or your soldier's boots. What we have on our feet kind of indicates our mentality or our mindset. As you see someone shuffling around Sainsbury's in their slippers and their pajamas, that's a different feel to someone who's wearing different kind of shoes. When it comes to faith, and when it comes to our Christian walk and the gospel, what kind of shoes are we wearing? As we've been thinking about the gospel these last few weeks, what kind of shoes have we got on our feet? Are we wearing running shoes? Are we wearing shoes that are ready for action and give us stability? Or are we sitting warm and cozy by the fire with our slippers on when it comes to the gospel of peace? The amplified version of this passage of the Bible gives us a couple of phrases that I just want to pick up on this morning and think about together. Having shod your feet in preparation to face the enemy with the firm-footed stability, the promptness, and the readiness produced by the good news of the gospel of peace. I want to think about two things this morning when it comes to this gospel that we've been talking about these last weeks. And the first one is that this firm-footed stability, and the second one is this readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. First of all, stability. Previously in this passage, Paul is saying to the Ephesian believers, take your stand, stand your ground, stand firm then against the enemy, against the spiritual forces of darkness. Make sure you stand firm and make sure you have on your armor. He's speaking about this stability. This firm-footed stability has a source. And it comes, Paul says, it comes from the gospel of peace, from a readiness to stand because of the gospel of peace. Now, what is that gospel of peace? What is Paul talking about when he says that we can have firm-footed stability and a readiness to share our faith through the gospel of peace? What is he talking about? He's talking about the fact that God took the initiative in his son Jesus Christ in sending his son to earth, in the fact that Jesus lived a perfect life. He's talking about the fact that Jesus' crucifixion on the cross paid for the sins of the world and for all of those who would trust in him, and that his resurrection guarantees that we can be made right with God. He's talking about this gospel of peace. He's talking about Jesus, who's described as the Prince of Peace. And he is the one who gives us, the Bible says, peace with God. That's why the message of salvation in Christ that Paul is talking about is called the gospel of peace. It's why, as we start to gear up for Christmas, it's why the angel's words to the shepherds on that first Christmas were glory to God in the highest and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased. Peace on earth to you, to those with whom God is pleased. With whom is God pleased? God's pleasure and peace rest upon those who receive Jesus Christ, his Son, by faith and what he did on the cross. Paul put it like this when he wrote to the Roman believers. He said, since we have been justified by faith, made right with God by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The language that's used throughout the Bible, throughout from the book of Genesis, and particularly in the book of Romans, but right through from Genesis to Revelation, the language that is used when it speaks of our relationship with God as human beings is one of enmity, that we are enemies of God, that we are at enmity with God, that we are hostile to God in our natural self, that we have rebelled against God, that we have gone our own way. The way that the prophet Isaiah said it is that we've all gone our own way. We've all wandered away like sheep. Each one has done their own thing. And God has taken all of our sin and our wrongdoing and our iniquity, and he has laid it on him, on Jesus. So there is an enmity, and we look at the moment at conflict in the world, a great kind of conflict that's going on and still going on between Ukraine and Russia, and the desire for peace, the desire for peace and for rest and a lack of conflict. And so the gospel explains, we are enemies of God in our natural self. We are sinful in our beings. We have rebelled and gone our own way, every one of us. Now, some people have a difficulty grasping that concept. They say, I'm not an enemy of God. I believe in God. I'm a decent person. I'm a good person. I don't class God as my enemy. I believe in him. I think he's a good, benign being in some way. But that's not really what the Bible is saying. It is saying that rather than submitting to God as God and as Lord and having him in control of our lives, we have, by default, we have gone our own way. We have done our own thing. And that has driven a wedge between us and God and made us enemies of him. And the great news of the gospel of peace, what Paul is speaking of when he speaks of this gospel of peace, is that Jesus came to make peace between God and us, to draw us together, to have a ministry of reconciliation and say there is a way back to God. There is a way into relationship with God. And it is through the cross. It is through Jesus' death on the cross. And so this initial representation of the gospel at Christmas, as the angels announced, there is one coming. And I am pronouncing to you the most amazing, great, good news that is available to all people on earth. And it is this peace of God which is being presented, this righteousness that is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. And the Bible says that when we do that, when we put our faith in Jesus and what he has done on the cross, that we are no longer enemies. We are no longer called enemies of God. We are called children of God. And that is an amazing transformation from being opposed to God to being called God's child and to being in a relationship with him. And the Bible also tells us that when God looks at you, if you are in Christ, he sees Christ. He sees the righteousness of Christ. So when God looks at you this morning, when God looks right through you like an X-ray, what he sees a cloak of righteousness. He sees what has been put on you and in you and for you through Jesus' death on the cross. And this is the gospel of peace. You are at peace with God. You are made right with God through Jesus Christ, through acceptance of his sacrifice for you. And so there is out of this place of peace a firm stability for us that we can stand our ground when we are faced with various challenges. The Bible says in the Psalms, he lifted me out of the slimy pit that I was in, and he put my feet on solid ground. That's what God has done for many of us here who call ourselves Christ followers. He's taken us out of that slimy pit. He's taken us from a place of enmity towards God, from doing our own thing. He's made us right with God through Jesus Christ, and we have firm-footed stability as a result of this gospel of peace that has been presented to us in Jesus. And so we sing in our songs, on Christ, the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other reliance, if I were to rely on myself, on my own rightness, my own righteousness, if I were to rely on the world's systems, if I were to rely on the politicians to fix my heart or my issues, if I were to rely on culture, it is sinking sand that I rely on. It will never give me a firm stability. But on Christ, the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. There is a stability to that life, to a life in Christ, to a life made right with God. The psalmist says in Psalm 18, God arms me with strength. He makes my way perfect. He makes me as sure-footed as a deer, enabling me to stand on mountain heights. If you are a Christian this morning, you can know the purpose and reason that you are here, the reason for your life. You can know that everything that you have ever done wrong or will ever do wrong is forgiven. You can know that you are clean and pure in God's sight because Jesus died on the cross for you and took the punishment that should have been yours. You can know as a Christian that death is not the end. That if you accept Christ as your Savior and become his follower, you are promised eternal life. you are promised heaven. You can live in relationship with a God who transforms you from the inside out. You can live in the knowledge that it doesn't all depend on you. You can know that Christ is being formed in you, that God has ordained good works for you to do. And you can live in the knowledge this morning that when you go through the tough times, as Jesus said you surely would, when you face sadness, when you face sickness, when you face bereavement, when you face discouragement, when you face major crises in life, you can know with a firm-footed stability that God is with you, that he says to you, as we read out at the start of our service today, I have redeemed you. I've bought you back. You are mine. I've summoned you by name. I know your name. And I have called you. And I am telling you that when you pass through difficult times, I'm telling you that when you go through those deep waters where you feel like you're drowning, I'm telling you when it is so hot that you feel the fire of your circumstances, I am telling you they will not sweep over you. And I am telling you that the fire will not consume you. Because God is bedrock beneath our feet. And this is what comes from the gospel of peace, the firm-footed stability. It's the Roman soldier's footing that even when the enemy comes in like a flood, he will not win because I know that I stand on solid ground. All other ground is sinking sand. And I will bless the Lord at all times. And I will not be moved. And I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my strength. He is my shield. He is the one that stands with me. There is a sure-footed stability that's involved, and that comes from, it comes from the gospel of peace. Thomas Watson, an ancient writer, said, if God be our God, he will give us peace in trouble. When there is a storm without, he will make peace within. The world can create trouble in peace, but God can create peace in trouble. There is a form of stability here that the gospel gives us and presents us with. It is a firm-footed stability that we have as Christ follows. When we stand on the ground that God has won for us in Jesus Christ, it comes not from our best efforts. It comes not through our religious our exercises. It comes through the righteousness of God in and through Jesus Christ. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. A firm-footed stability. But there's another kind of stability that's involved here. That is a stability, first of all, that stands in difficult times, that goes through difficult circumstances, and that there is a ruggedness to it. There is a robustness to it because we are in Christ and we have that confidence in him that even death itself cannot separate us from the love of God. That makes us stable in unstable times. It gives us a strength and a firmness, a footing. But there's another kind of stability that I'm thinking of here as I read this passage and as I think of the gospel of peace and how we stand firm in it. It's the kind of stability that says, I am standing here on this gospel and I am not moving. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ and I stand on it and I am not moving. Martin Luther was one such character in the Reformation that stood up against the notion that as it dawned upon him from his own personal experience and his opposition of kind of religious practices that he was seeing in the church, it dawned on him that salvation could never be earned by human effort. It could never be paid for by human penance. It could never be won by effort alone or by self-flagellation or self-punishment or the wallowing in guilt. He came to that realization, and he came to the realization that the selling of penances for the forgiveness of sins was corrupt. And he came to the realization that trying to sort it out himself by praying on his knees, walking up and down the stairs on his knees, wearing a hair shirt, whipping himself, trying to pay for his sins, he realized that none of it was ever going to pay the price. And he nailed that time when he stood up against what he saw with his malpractices of the church. He nailed his 95 theses to the door of the church at Wittenberg in Germany. And when he was told that if he did not recant, he would face excommunication, he responded, unless I am convinced by the proofs of Scripture or by plain and clear reason and argument. I can and I will not retract, for it is neither safe nor wise to do anything against conscience. Here I stand. I can do no other. God help me. Amen. And this is also a form of firm-footed stability that we must have, and that we are given in the gospel of peace that is presented to us. We must develop the same dogged, determined, and spirit-filled certainty that comes from the gospel of peace. This is what the Bible says. This is what God's word says about this issue. It is not what the government says. It is not what the Sun newspaper says. It is not what Twitter or X or whatever else platform you want to look at says. It is not what my school friends say. It is not what my student friends say. It is not what culture says. I was reading this week in the Times newspaper about the changing attitudes of British society. And data published by the National Center for Social Research, which has tracked public opinion in the UK for decades, shows, this article says, and the research shows that on the issues of cultural and moral grounds, our society has undergone profound change and rendered our country unrecognizable from a generation ago. In the 40th annual British Social Attitudes Report, a survey of social and political sentiment, the center found that the population had become markedly more liberal. It then went into various issues of what those, how that was represented and how it was lived out. We know, you know, I know, we move and swim in different waters than we did one generation ago, than we did even 5 or 10 years ago. Culture shifts, moods shift, laws change. And in the Inspired series that we're going to be doing, starting on the 15th of October for 7 weeks as a church, morning and evening and in our small groups and in our daily devotions, we're coming back again to the Word of God, and we're saying this is the inspired Word of God. This is the God-breathed word. This is theopneustos. This is what is breathed by God. These are the very words, the very oracles of God. This gospel of peace that we stand on, it's firm ground. It does not change. It is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, of course, cultural mores change. And of course, the way we express the gospel truth changes. And of course, practices change. But in all of that, there must be part of us that says, this is the gospel truth. Here I stand. I cannot do no other. I can do no other. The Bible says it. I believe it, and I'm not moving on it. Consider him, it says in Hebrews, who endured such opposition from sinful men so that you will not grow weary and lose heart in your struggle against sin you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. Some people have, we have not. But what Paul was saying in essence is, we do not need to be ashamed of the gospel. He said, I am not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God to save people. They're not going to find the answers in culture. They're not going to find the answers in which political party is in power. They're not going to find the answers to the problems of today's society, to the fracturing of families and to the breakdown of society, to the things that are not working. Because ultimately, as we've said many times, the problem of the human heart is the heart of the human problem is the problem of the human heart. And the heart of and the problem of sin goes right through the center, as was said, right through the center of the human heart is where the problem lies. So we stand on this gospel of peace. It gives us firm-footed stability. Now let's remind ourselves again of that verse, of our verse today. Having shod your feet in preparation to face the enemy with firm-footed stability, the promptness and the readiness produced by the good news of the gospel of peace. The first aspect of our gospel shoes, our footwear, is this firm-footed stability that comes from the gospel, is stability in our life in Christ. That means we can stand, and we can stand well in our determination to stand up for the gospel. The second aspect of this footwear is a readiness. It's almost certain that Paul, as he wrote these words, was thinking of Isaiah 52, verse 7. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who publishes peace, who brings good tidings of good, who publishes salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. How beautiful are those feet that bring that kind of news, that God reigns, that shares the gospel, that tells people this amazing good news, that it's a gospel of peace with God. You can have peace in your life as you relate to God. And there's a readiness here that this Bible passage speaks of. We have a picture of people, of the feet of people who are running to bring good news. The good news is the good news of peace, being prepared and ready for action. Imagine yourself wearing a pair of slippers, lounging about, and imagine yourself in the running starting blocks with spikes on, ready to run. There's such a difference in our attitude, in our preparedness. Are we in a state of readiness to share this gospel of peace with other people? But in your hearts, Peter said, as he wrote to the believers in 1 Peter 3, in your hearts, set Jesus Christ apart as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. Why do you have, in this hopeless world that we live in, why do you seem so hopeful? What is the reason for your hope? What reason do you have to have peace? And Peter said, always be ready to give the reason for the hope that is in you, for the reason for your peace. Now, if we look at Ephesians chapter 6 in the context of this passage on spiritual warfare, the passage that we just read out, where Paul said, you know, in view of all these things, put on, stand firm, put on the armor of God. This passage in Ephesians 6, it comes right after what are known as the household rules, where Paul writes to husbands and wives, and he writes to masters and slaves, and he writes to children and parents, and he shares these kind of household practices. This is how you're to live your life. This is how you're to relate to one another. He does that earlier on in Ephesians. And then he goes on to talk about presenting the gospel. There's a parallel passage in Colossians chapter 3. And near the end of that passage, we see that Paul deals with exactly the same issues that he's dealing with in Ephesians, the household rules. He deals with masters and slaves, and he deals with husbands and wives, and he deals with parents and children. But after he deals with that in Colossians, he doesn't go on in the same way to speak about spiritual warfare. But instead, what he does, he says this in verses 5 and 6. He says, conduct yourselves wisely towards outsiders, making the most of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer everyone. In the same way, be ready. Be ready to give a reason for your faith. Have your feet fitted with the readiness of the gospel of peace. And here in a context like the one in Ephesians, is this exhortation to be alert that you can be the salt of the earth. You can answer unbelievers' questions. You can give a reason at university or in your studies or at school, the reason for the faith that is in you. And you can do it in a way that is gracious and well-seasoned and attractive and winsome. It's not put people off. It's not offensive in that way. Sometimes the gospel is offensive to people, but it's done in a way that is winsome, but is ready to give a reason for what we believe in, because this is the gospel of peace, being prepared and alert. We did a series years ago called Just Walk Across the Room, and we talked about the fact that within our social circles, we have certain settings that we're very comfortable in, and the concept of this series was, why don't you just walk across the room and take that step and go into the unknown zone and the comfort get out of your comfort zone and speak to that person across the room. Speak to that person at work. Reach out beyond your comfort zone and your circle that you're normally mixing in. Have your antennae up for people that may be searching or lost or looking for answers or hurting or going through life crisis. We've talked, and Paul has talked about the power of our story and the power of sharing our story and what God has done in our lives. It's great yesterday that the women and the men, they were eating breakfast together and they were sharing the story of the gospel with other women and with other men. This is our story. This is what God has done in my life. And my mum, I remember back in the day when we were doing Just Walk Across the Room, telling me she was on a train reading the book Just Walk Across the Room, thinking, I hope nobody disturbs me while I read this book. I hope they all leave me alone, which is kind of not the point of the book. The point of the book was, put the book down, have your antennae up, be aware of those around you, that you have the gospel of peace, the words of Christ for them. It's like a wireless connection. When you go in to a holiday home or you go somewhere fresh and you've got your wireless connection, you're looking for networks. You're looking where you can connect. You're looking for that connection. Your antennae is on. And as believers, I don't think this has to be heavy. I think we can pray for openings and opportunities to share our faith. I think we can throw up arrow prayers to God that our eyes would be open and our ears would be open to the possibilities of what God is putting before us, that we can see into people's hearts and lives the things that God shows us, that we would ask for and believe that we would receive the guidance and the promptings of the Holy Spirit, that I can be ready at all times to give a reason for the hope that is in me. I can be open and bold about my faith and my relationship with Jesus. I can be ready. I can decide whether I'm going to be wearing my running shoes or my slippers. This week, we're starting our latest Alpha course. We've already got 40, 50 people around signed up to run and to do this course. It's about an exploration of the Christian faith. It's the perfect opportunity to invite people. And Rachel and Hamish taught last week about the power of invitation and the ability to invite people into this story. We're going to watch a short video now that highlights Laura's story of how she came to faith in Jesus. And it happened and was assisted by the Alpha course. We'll watch that together now.
I'm Laura. I'm 30 years old and I work as a veterinary nursing assistant. My parents were always like trying to tell me about Jesus, and I was sort of like, no, shut you out. I don't want to know. And then I was going through a really tough time in life. I ended up really bad bout of anxiety, ended up quite unwell, I had health issues, and I just sort of reached rock bottom, and I just prayed. I prayed to God for help, and I just felt peace and love, just like the room was just full of just this amazing feeling, which I just can't describe. And that was it. I was just like, you're real, you're my life.
You may be experiencing some technical difficulties. I'll let Steve cue it up again and maybe try and run it in a...
Quite unwell, I had health issues, and I just sort of reached rock bottom, and I just prayed. I prayed to God for help, and I just felt peace and love, just like the room was just full of just this amazing feeling, which I just can't describe. And that was it. I was just like, you're real, you're my life. Come on in and help me. So then I left my relationship for 10 years. I moved out of my house. My nan thankfully took me in. so I had no idea when I walked out that she would. I felt sort of like I was lost and lonely, but I knew that God was leading me on this path for a reason, and I trusted him. And then that's when I decided to sort of look for a church, and I saw the Alpha being advertised. My parents had recommended it, and I thought it would be a really great way to learn more about the faith. I knew what I felt, but I wanted to find out why I felt like I did and explore that more. I felt so shy walking in, but everyone was so welcoming. Food was great, the people on your table were great, and the leaders are so helpful, So no question is too big or small, and yeah, I just love the discussion and the testimonies that come out of it. So I'm helping out with the Alpha now, and that alone has just increased my faith so much to be able to help other people and see them progressing as well in their faith is just really amazing.
It's a great story about Laura and how she received and experienced in real terms the gospel of peace, how that transformed and is transforming her life, and how she now in turn is reaching out with this gospel of peace, with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. So we've got Alpha coming up this week, and it's still plenty of opportunity either for you to sign up yourself if you want to explore the Christian faith and explore this gospel of peace and what the claims of Christianity are. Sign up today, sign up on our website, sign up at our Connect Corner, sign up via our church office, sign up via your friend. Just come on Wednesday and see what it's all about. And also, if you're still considering inviting somebody, this is your ideal time. We're coming up into the Christmas season. We're going to have a number of Christmas services, which are ideal for people to be invited to, and many other opportunities that we have to make the invitation. The final thought in all of this, as we look at our feet and our gospel shoes, we've all got different feet, don't we? Some of us have got big feet. Some of us have got small feet. We've all got different feet. And we've all got different personalities. And we've all got different abilities. And we've all got different experiences. But if you're a Christ follower this morning, you have a pair of bespoke gospel shoes that are on your feet. And if you're an introvert, God will use your introvert nature to reach out to people in a way that is just beautiful. And if you're an extrovert, God will use you to network and to reach out and to connect with people in a way that an introvert would not. Whoever you are, whatever your personality, whatever your background, God will use your shape, your spiritual experiences, your heart, your abilities, your personality and your experiences. God will use all of those things to help you reach out to others with the gospel of Christ. And it can be done in a way that is beautiful. You are the carrier of good news. You have beautiful feet this morning. So have your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace, the sure-footed stability that God promises you through this gospel. The stability that says, I'm going to stand on this gospel truth and I cannot do anything else. And also the readiness that comes with that, the preparedness to know that God, should the opportunity come along, I'm going to take it for what you give me to share with others, this amazing gospel of peace. I'm going to invite the band up and to rejoin me now. And I want to just invite you into a response this morning. We're going to sing an old song, an old Hillsong song. I will bless the Lord at all times. And it reflects on the fact that God has taken us and he's put our feet on solid ground. I think as I reflect back through our service today, I think of the theme of stability and of whatever we're going through, that God is with us, that God is foundation, bedrock beneath our feet. And I want you to feel today and to know that stability that you have through the gospel of peace, that you can know the peace of God in a real way this morning, that he keeps him or her in perfect peace, in whose mind has stayed on him. There's a steadfastness, a stability that comes as we stand on this gospel truth. And I want you to know and experience that today in a real way. But I also want every one of us to be freshly challenged, to be ready to share this gospel, because it's not just ours, it's to be given away. It is the most amazing thing that's happened to us. We were enemies of God, but we have now peace with God through Jesus Christ. And this gospel peace is to be shared with others. Will you stand with me as we pray? Lord, as we respond now in song, as we sing these words, I pray, Lord, there may be those here this morning that feel the emotion of the psalmist, that my foot was slipping. It almost slipped. It almost felt like I was going under. But Lord, I pray this morning that there would be a sense of you lifting up and placing on solid ground. I pray, Lord, this morning for peace. I pray for the peace of God, which transcends understanding, to guard a heart that is troubled this morning, to cover over a mind that is tormented today. I pray for the peace of God, which is above all of these things, to guard that heart and that mind in Christ Jesus. I pray that, Lord Jesus, as you stood in front of your disciples and you saw what was coming their way, and you said to them, "Peace, I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." I pray, Lord, that you would speak those words this morning to every heart that needs to hear them. "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your heart be troubled. Do not be afraid." I pray that you would cause that peace, Lord, to permeate us this morning. And I pray that we would feel that we are standing on such solid ground. Jesus Christ, bedrock beneath our feet. Help us to feel that stability, that certainty, and that readiness of the gospel of peace. And in that context, Lord, I will bless the Lord. We will bless the Lord in the knowledge of this gospel truth. In Jesus' name, amen.